This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast here on the Yak. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel, checking in for what is the first time of the 2021 year. Actually, it's been a few weeks since I've checked in with between the holidays and everything else going on and some dead periods and some coaching turnover and lack of recruiting. We hadn't had a whole lot to talk about, but that certainly has changed in a big way starting today. So where do we begin with this one, man? There's been a lot going on in terms of the Texas football program recruiting. Not necessarily, but that kind of changed today. But we got a lot to get to. We'll just kind of start off with the obvious choice. How about that weather in Austin on Monday, or whatever the hell day it was? What day was it? I guess it was Sunday with all the snow. I'm officially thawed out from that. But now let's talk about, the big story around college football. One of the big stories in college football, certainly the big story around Austin, the Steve Sarkisian hire for the Texas Longhorns. So it's been about a week and a half since that hire was made official, since it was announced. Actually, Steve Sarkisian just had his first press conference in Austin, kind of his introductory press conference, if you will. He did that just this afternoon on Tuesday. He had done one previously on Zoom, but we don't count that. That was more just kind of meet the media. This was kind of the first, hey, let's wheel him out there and, you know, televise it and have him answer questions and talk about how great everything is. But, you know, you get those. I've seen enough of those introductory press conferences. Everybody's excited and everybody's happy, and it's the best day in a long time for the Texas football program. And, you know, you got to be a little bit careful to not get too wrapped up into that kind of talk, not get too carried away. But I got to tell you, man, for me, something just feels different with this one than it did with Tom Herman, than it did with Charlie Strong. I wasn't there to cover Mac Brown's introductory press conference, so I can't speak to that. But the last two that I've covered, this one just feels different. Man, I've told people, I've told friends this, I've told colleagues this, I've told family this. I don't know what it is, but this one to me just has a different feel, and I have a bit more sense of optimism in this one, which is interesting. Because Steve Sarkisian, he's obviously what I'd classify as a high-risk hire with everything that's happened to him in his past, back in his days at USC. But I also think this is a hire that has a tremendously high ceiling. I think he's much more likely to reach his ceiling or get close to his ceiling than he is to ever get close to that floor again. You know, I was talking to a reporter about this, and he said, well, he kind of reminds me of Tom Herman a little bit, young guy, offensive-minded coach, and I didn't see it that way. I mean, Sarkisian to me is so much more innovative as an offensive mind than Tom Herman. He's, let's just call it what it is, he's a much better play caller. We saw that with Tom Herman where he had to end up taking over the play calling duties. He wasn't happy with, you know, those responsibilities, so he then delegated them back to Mike Yurcich this year. And then the other comparison that was made to me by the same person was Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin. He said, man, you know, does it feel a little bit like Lane Kiffin? They've both coached at USC. You know, and he and I, as we talked it out, I was like, I don't see it that way. To me, as weird as it sounds with everything in Sarkisian's past, he's a lot safer hire than Lane Kiffin. I mean, Sark just, he's obviously gained Nick Saban's trust. I think he's learned his lesson through these trials and tribulations he went through when he was the USC head coach and having to rebuild his career and rebuild his character. I think he's a different person from everything I've gathered. People who've covered him closely for, you know, the past decade or longer, it seems like he's a different person. I just think, you know, he's learned a hard lesson that caused him and enabled him to grow. And if I'm reading the tea leaves right, then good for him, man. Good for Steve Sarkisian. Bottom line is I like the hire. It seemed to have a kind of put a pep in the step for the Texas fan base, which I think was necessary, certainly for our Orange Blood subscribers, probably for most of you all listening to this. It obviously has put a pep in the step for Texas' recruiting efforts. I mean, let's just call it what it is, or what it was, I guess, under Tom Herman and the previous staff. 2021 got off to a good start, and then it hit a lull, and then a long time lull, and there was just nothing positive going on with Texas in that 2021 recruiting class. You know, credit to Tom Herman and the staff for getting those guys to sign their letters of intent early, so they were able to lock that class in December, but there just wasn't much buzz trending for Texas in 2021. There wasn't any buzz with Texas in 2022. You know, the Longhorns had a couple of decommitments there. They were not a team that was making waves with the top players in the 2022 class. It was, without a change being made, recruiting was stagnant, and it was not going to change. 2022 was off to a dreadful start. I mean, I think we were looking at a Texas recruiting class in 2022, if Tom Herman was retained, that probably would have been one of the worst classes Texas has signed in the past decade. Well, in comes Steve Sarkisian. Everybody watches what he does, or his Alabama team, or Nick Saban's Alabama team with Steve Sarkisian calling the plays. Everybody watches what they do on Monday night. They're marching up and down the field against Ohio State. It felt like Alabama could have named its score. Sarkisian, I mean, it was just brilliant play calls. He was in rhythm. He was innovative. He was creating mismatches and finding ways to get his best players the ball and get them in one-on-one mismatch with defenders. I mean, just everything about it was brilliant. You saw some of the stuff, you know, as they're playing it on TV, and Herb Street's kind of breaking down the plays, and you're seeing things when he's putting guys in motions that you really haven't seen before. They weren't just kind of jogging when Devontae Smith would go in motion. It wasn't just kind of jogging across the field. They'd put him in motion, he'd circle back the other way, then he'd sprint back the other way. You know, he was doing things at full speed. Everything about it was innovative, was different. I liked it. It was crisp. The results showed just a tremendous, tremendous resume builder, if you will. Tremendous, tremendous platforms for Steve Sarkisian to build on as he heads into Austin. He comes to Austin on Tuesday morning, and before he takes the podium at 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, he picks up a commitment from Louisville wide receiver Armani Winfield. It sounds like that commitment actually happened on Monday night. Didn't become official, though, until Sarkisian got to Austin. They got a chance to, Andre Coleman, the receivers coach, got a chance to talk to Sarkisian about it. So, I mean, that in itself, listen, his first 2 hours in the job in Austin show you how much different things potentially can be under Steve Sarkisian as opposed to what was happening under Tom Herman. So, lots to be excited about if you're a Texas fan. You've got other players like Evan Stewart, another game-breaking receiver that Texas really could help itself by landing. C.J. Williams, a top player out of California, that suddenly says, hey, Texas is back on my list. You're hearing rumblings about Quinn Ewers, and could he be interested in Texas again? And we even had, as tends to happen, these rumors probably got blown out of proportion. Hey, is Quinn Ewers going to flip from Ohio State back to Texas? And, you know, I got to back that stuff down a little bit. Hey, that's not happening right now. But do I think Quinn Ewers will suddenly listen to Texas and listen to Steve Sarkisian? Will he keep an eye on what's going on in Texas? Will he keep an eye on what happens with Texas in spring football? Will he watch Texas next fall to see if the offense lives up to its reputation? Yeah, I think he will. I think with Tom Herman and the previous staff and Mike Yurcich, that ship had completely sailed. That thing was dead in the water. Now you've got some excitement. You've got people just kind of wondering how, you know, what can Steve Sarkisian do with this Texas offense? I think it's going to open a lot of doors throughout the state of Texas. I think it's going to open doors on the West Coast, where Coach Sark has ties. Obviously, I mentioned CJ Williams. There are a lot of other California prospects who have suddenly said, "Hey, you know what? Texas is a school I want to keep an eye on, man." Sark is just kind of the reputation of an offensive genius. He's still very well respected. He's still very well known out in California. I think, and I haven't been able to confirm this, I think his son still goes to modern day high school, one of the premier football programs in all of high school football across the country out in California. So that'll certainly open some doors there. So, you know, lots to be excited about. We're watching him put his staff together. You've got a guy like Terry Joseph coming in from Notre Dame. Well, he's got Louisiana ties. That could open some doors there. Stan Drayton's being retained. That's going to help with running back recruiting. So just a phenomenal, phenomenal couple weeks for Texas. And I don't know, man, I like everything about it so far. You know, I go back, listen, a month and a half ago on our Orange Bloods modcast, when everybody, the entire focus for everybody was on Urban Meyer. And obviously Urban Meyer would have been a fantastic hire. You're never going to turn that down or back away from that. But I remember Jeff Ketchum asked us all, like, if not Urban, who would you go after? And everybody had different opinions. I don't remember what they were, honestly, but I just remember mine. I said, I would go after Steve Sarkisian, man. I love it. He's a brilliant offensive mind. He's learning under Urban Meyer, assuming everything checks out in terms of background checks and that type of stuff. To me, Steve Sarkisian seemed like just the type of hire that Oklahoma would go out and make. A little bit of a risky hire. Maybe doesn't have a ton of head coaching experience, although Sark does. I think he's got, what, 6 years or close to 6 years head coaching experience. You know, Oklahoma didn't give a shit about that with Lincoln Riley or Bob Stoops. They hired brilliant minds on both sides of the ball, young guys who can impact the game as coaches, who can relate to players, who are innovative coaches, and you see what it's done for Oklahoma. It's about time Texas finally thought outside the box and didn't go for a guy like Chip Kelly or you know, somebody who's got 10, 15 years head coaching experience. You know what? Do something innovative. Do something outside the box. Do something aggressive. That's what they did by getting Steve Sarkisian. We've seen immediate dividends from that hire in the commitment from Armani Winfield. I think more to come. If you're paying attention to Twitter and you're paying attention to just kind of what guys are saying and how they're responding, you know, I think more good news is on the way for Texas, probably in the near future. I expect Sark and his staff to hit the ground running in terms of trying to finish up the 2021 class, in terms of trying to finish the 2022 class. So, you know, what's next for 2021? Sark said in his press conference earlier today, Tuesday afternoon, hey, you know, their primary goal right now, the players are still home from Christmas break. Classes don't start till the 19th. So those guys really won't be getting back to Austin till probably this coming weekend, maybe early next week. He said his goals or his immediate goals are to finish building out his staff, mostly on defense. Got to hire a defensive coordinator, you know, figure out job duties on that side of the ball, maybe another defensive line coach, linebackers coach. How it's all going to come together, we'll see. But he's got to finish hiring defensive coaches. And the other thing he said is they've got to figure out a way to finish this recruiting class. He kind of comes in behind the eight ball on the recruiting class. I mean, most 2021 prospects did sign in December. So I'll be really curious to see if he has any aces up his sleeve. Maybe he knows of a couple guys that he had connections with when he was at Alabama who didn't sign early. We'll see. We'll have to see, you know, which guys kind of show up on the radar, which guys come into the mix over the next week or two. The big one, of course, that is on the radar, has been on the radar, will continue to be on the radar, is Rivals 100 running back L.J. Johnson out of Cy Fair down in the Houston area. You know, Sark's had multiple conversations with L.J., from what I'm told from someone close to L.J. Sounds like those things have gone very well. You know, this thing has just gone back and forth and back and forth. And I actually talked to a couple sources today, and I'm going to kind of break my rule that I said I wouldn't do. So I've always said, hey, I'm not going to say things on this podcast that I haven't reported on Orange Bloods first. So now I'm going to have to, as soon as I'm done recording this podcast, I'll probably have to run over to Orange Bloods and write up a report before we go public with this podcast. But, you know, I was told about a week and a half ago by multiple sources that Texas was the team to beat for L.J. Johnson. A couple people told me they felt confident in Texas's chances. One person told me, hey, you know, there's a source close to Johnson, I would say, and said, hey, call it 65-45 Texas, or 65-35 Texas over Texas A&M, which is about where I probably would have guesstimated it to be. I talked to a source today, said, I don't know, it keeps going back and forth, back and forth. This person still feels Texas is the team to beat, but said in his estimation, it may be closer to 51 to 49. That's how close this thing is, and it just keeps going back and forth. And LJ's a tough guy to read. I mean, he's tough for me to read. He's tough for any media members to read because he doesn't talk. He doesn't talk anymore at all. You know, his family used to talk a little bit here and there. They don't talk anymore. Everybody's kind of shut it down. LJ will talk to college coaches, but he doesn't really tip his hand even there. I mean, there's speculation that he could make a decision literally by the end of this week so that he could enroll at the school of his choice next week. Makes all the sense in the world why he would. He graduated in December. Why would he not want to decide and enroll in January? I don't understand it. Otherwise, he's going to have to wait till June to enroll. Yeah, he could stay home and he could work with a trainer and do all that kind of stuff, but it's not the same, man. You're not getting the same nutrition plans. You're not getting the training that you're going to get at the school with your teammates. You're not going to get to go through spring football is the obvious one. You're not going to get to take in the offensive scheme, get to work with your new coach, whoever it's going to be. Unless he is just that torn and doesn't know, then I guess he could wait till February, make his announcement then. Actually, he could wait till as late as April if he wanted to make his decision then and then enroll in June. But to me, man, that's just a mistake. If you're LJ Johnson, you should make that decision, get started on your college career since you've already done the work to graduate from high school. But as of Tuesday morning, nobody I've talked to knows for sure where LJ's going to go. They still don't know if he's going to enroll early. I mean, it's that up in the air. It's just, it's all over the place with this one. And it just keeps going back and forth and back and forth. So I still like Texas's chances. I'm not backing down on my stance on that just because I haven't heard anybody tell me that they think A&M's a team to beat. I mean, 51-49, what I heard today is pretty damn close. I mean, that's just about a toss-up. But hey, that 51 still in favor of Texas in combination of what I heard last week. So I'm still sticking with Texas until I hear definitive reason from a source that tells me, hey, you probably should change your future cast pick. Mine's been on Texas for a long time. I'm going to leave it there. I just feel like if LJ wanted to commit to A&M, he's seen everything he can possibly see from A&M. They ran the ball well. They recruited offensive linemen well. You know, they had a really good season on the field. He knows their depth chart is probably a little bit more inviting than Texas, where he'd have to come in and compete with Bijan Robinson. Jonathan Brooks looks like a real find for Texas, the incoming Texas freshman. There are a lot of things on paper that seem to weigh in A&M's favor. It's a little bit closer to home. He's had a long-time relationship with Tommy Robinson, their running backs coach. A lot of things on paper check boxes for Texas A&M. Yet, LJ Johnson just can't bring himself to pull the trigger on that commitment. Even when Texas was at its worst back in September and October and playing bad football and not running the ball worth a shit, and you had drama in the football program with the eyes of Texas, and you had disgruntled players and a fan base that was unhappy and a coach on the hot seat. Throughout all that and everything A&M had going in its favor, he couldn't bring himself to pull the trigger on an A&M commitment. That to me has always told me his heart wants to be at Texas. Now, is his heart going to win out in this race in the end? I don't know. I just don't know. And I don't know anybody who does know. I don't think LJ knows. But in my opinion, he would be doing himself an injustice if he doesn't figure it out pretty quickly. He would help his cause, help his future, you know, get an early start on his college career, on his degree. You know, hopefully everything goes the way he hopes it will, and he'll be in the NFL in 3 or 4 years. But if it doesn't, you know what? He could have a head start on his degree, and he could get started on his non-football life in, you know, 3.5 years or something. But, you know, that's not my decision to make. That's up to LJ. And if he's just not ready, he's not ready. But we'll keep an eye on that. One person I talked to today said he thought it could happen really in the next 48 hours that LJ could have a decision. I just don't know, man. LJ's so quiet and he's been so torn on this. We'll see. So beyond that, let's talk a little bit more about running backs, and we'll keep the focus there. In 2022, Jaden Blue, the Rivals 100 member out of Klein Kane. Interesting kind of developments behind the scenes there. I've always thought Texas was the team to beat for Jaden Blue, but then the season happened for Texas. And again, Texas wasn't running the ball at all, very well at all, early in the season. That changed late in the season, of course, with the help of Bijan Robinson and improved offensive line play in the last couple of games. But early on, Texas wasn't running the ball well. They weren't just playing well overall. I mentioned all the kind of off-the-field issues that were going on. You know, Jaden never told me. The last time I communicated with Jaden directly in terms of, hey, who are his leaders? I mean, he and I text here and there, DM about different things. But the last time I asked him directly who was his leader, he said, Texas was my leader. Well, that was before the wheels kind of fell off for Texas. Then you had Tom Herman on the hot seat. Then you had the coaching change. Well, in my mind, common sense seemed to indicate, just like it did with most players that Texas was recruiting in 2022, Texas probably wasn't his leader anymore. Probably still in the mix, but he was going to have to wait and kind of see what happened with the coaching staff and Tom Herman, and you know, and then kind of reassess from there. Well, now you get the coaching change. What I'm hearing, he's watching things again. Interesting. Last night, I got a little birdie sent me a message saying, hey, keep an eye on Alabama for Jaden Blue. Keep an eye on Alabama. This is literally during the national championship game. Alabama surging. Don't be shocked if something happens with him in Alabama. I literally went on my Futurecast page last night on Rivals and changed my pick to Alabama kind of quietly. I didn't go broadcast it. I didn't put it on Orange Bloods. I didn't tweet it. I just kind of quietly changed my pick to Alabama from based off of what I was told. I kind of got to thinking about it after I did it last night and literally first thing this morning. I'm like, that just doesn't make sense to me. He's watching this game. He falls in love with Alabama. Yet it's Steve Sarkisian running that offense, calling the plays for that offense. He's coming to Austin, where Jaden's a longtime love for the University of Texas. Why would he go to Alabama? It just didn't make sense. It almost felt like a bit of a smokescreen to me. So I called a buddy of mine in the recruiting industry this morning. I said, hey, let me bounce this idea off you. And we were just kind of spitballing, and he thought the same thing. He goes, man, that sounds like a smokescreen. I agreed. I decided to change my Futurecast back to Texas. Well, the freaking Rivals software wouldn't let me change it back. So I'm like, damn it, I'm stuck with this Alabama pick. Well, I later talked to another source, and this source told me the same thing. He goes, I think Jaden's playing games. I think it's a diversion tactic. I still think Texas is in a good spot and has been for a long time. Lo and behold, jumping through some hoops, I came to my common senses. I still think Texas is in a good spot there. I don't know this for sure. I haven't been told this. Wouldn't shock me at all if he makes a decision, maybe even by February, by mid-February. I know he wants to have it done before he starts his senior season. I think with Steve Sarkisian coming in, I think this little bit of boost of momentum Texas has, I think it could really help with a lot of guys. I think it's going to help with Jaden Blue. I'm going out on a limb here. I think you could see him add his name to the Texas commitment list in the not-so-distant future. And you know what? If he, let's say he does it, I'll just pull a date out of my, you know where. Let's say he does it February 15th. I'm not sure there won't be a couple others that do it before then. That's how much momentum I think Texas has suddenly seized in 2022 recruiting. Now, listen, they're going to have to keep it up, and it can't just be a flash in the pan thing. They're going to have to, you know, build on that momentum. They're going to have to keep that momentum. They're going to have to build on it in spring football. They're going to have to build on it, obviously, on the field next fall. But right now, you know, momentum can be a fickle thing. It can come and go pretty quickly. We saw that in a big way with Tom Herman, where that pendulum would take drastic swings in Texas's favor, drastic swings where Texas was out of favor. So momentum can swing in a hurry, but I don't think Steve Sarkisian is going to do anything between now and in the fall to extinguish the kind of flame of momentum that Texas has built. If anything, I think it's going to continue to build as more and more guys potentially enter the Texas recruiting class. So, you know, could they get a guy? You know, they're not, I don't think they're going to get a guy like Quinn Ewers to flip. Quinn's going to want to see the Texas football product on the field. He's going to want to, he probably already has a relationship with Sarkisian, because I know Alabama was a school that was recruiting him pretty heavily. But, you know, Quinn's a smart kid. His family's smart. He's not going to commit to Texas, I wouldn't think, right now. He probably would want to wait until, get a glimpse of him spring ball next fall, see how things look. Then again, hey, I thought the same thing. I was like, why would he commit to Ohio State without knowing what's going to happen with Tom Herman? He did commit to Ohio State, so who knows? Quinn sometimes maybe kind of marches to the beat of his own drum a little bit. But, you know, I don't think Texas is going to get that kind of guy. But if they could get a guy like Jaden Blue, maybe another receiver, maybe an offensive lineman, maybe they find a way to reel in a top defensive player or two, then momentum really starts to pick up even before Steve Sarkisian's coached a game in Austin. We've seen that happen before. I certainly think it could happen again. It's tough competition with Oklahoma, Texas A&M, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State. A bunch of schools are going to be recruiting the state of Texas very well. But, you know, Texas needed a shot in the arm. They got it in Steve Sarkisian. We've already seen it with one commitment. I think at least one other, and I think multiple others are going to follow in the next month or so. So we'll see. Sticking my neck out a little bit there. But that's how confident I am in his hire and the direction of this program and the excitement Sark is going to bring to this program. So I could probably ramble on and on and on and bounce around about a number of different topics, but those are kind of the pressing things on my mind in the last 48 hours. I may have forgotten a couple things. Check out Orange Bloods. I put a column up today or some notes up today about different guys I think Sark would be wise to go after and really target. And it's names you've heard before. It's a couple new names. It's a couple names you've heard before. Guy like Evan Stewart. I mean, you watched that game last night with Alabama, and Alabama just has a different grade of athlete than any other team in the country, certainly with Texas. But Sark needs offensive weapons who can make plays in space, who can create separation, who can do it with speed. I think it's got to start there. Those are the types of guys he's got to target. Anyways, that was something I put on Orange Bloods today. I talked to some sources in Louisiana and California. Hey, are there some speed guys out there that maybe he could make a run at? So ultimately, you know, like he said it himself, he goes, hey, they want to keep the top talent from the state of Texas in the state of Texas. You know what? 2022 is a hell of a year to start doing that, because it's a deep, deep talent pool, especially at the skill position and the offensive line. So it'd be a hell of a year for Sark to have a really good offensive recruiting class. Got off to a good start with Armani Winfield's commitment on Tuesday afternoon. Maybe they can continue to build on that. I think they will. I'm going to wrap it up with that. This is Jason Sukumil. This is Something's Brewing. I appreciate everybody listening. I hope everybody had a great and safe New Year. Hope everybody's staying healthy. And, man, it feels good to kind of talk about some optimism and talk about some excitement in the Texas football program. Let's hope it stays that way for a while. You all stay safe. You all take care. And I will talk to everyone soon.